Conservatism isn't what most people think. Far from being a rigid ideology opposing all change, it represents a profound way of viewing human nature and society with both skepticism and reverence. This intellectual tradition stretches from Edmund Burke's response to the French Revolution through the challenges of the modern era, offering wisdom that transcends partisan divides. What makes conservatism so enduring is its recognition of human limitations alongside human potential, a balanced perspective increasingly rare in our polarized times. Even figures like Christopher Hitchens, despite his left-leaning politics, praise this tradition for its intellectual honesty and depth. In an age where extremes dominate discourse, the conservative tradition reminds us that wisdom often lies in the delicate balance between preservation and progress, between honoring what works and reforming what doesn't. This isn't about political tribalism, but about understanding a rich intellectual heritage that has shaped Western civilization in profound ways. Conservatism centers on balancing social order and individual liberty. Edmund Burke, reflecting on the French Revolution, understood that freedom functions within established traditions rather than abstract principles. A state without the means of some change, Burke noted, is without the means of its conservation. True conservatism isn't opposing change, but ensuring reforms preserve essentials while addressing deficiencies. Burke saw liberties not as abstract rights, but as an entailed inheritance passed through generations. This inheritance includes Burke's decent drapery of life, customs and moral habits that elevate human existence. When revolutionaries strip away these civilizing elements, they expose humanity to raw power, not liberation. Burke recognized liberty requires self-restraint. Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetites. The conservative vision sees liberty as space where responsible individuals flourish within a moral framework that both constrains and elevates human nature. While revolutionary ideals shaped America, the conservative principles of the Federalists were equally influential. John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, and Fisher Ames developed a distinctively American conservatism tailored to building a new republic. Adams acknowledged free government's advantages over monarchy, but insisted democracy needed constraints. He believed in democratic representation while arguing the wealthy and able should be separated into a Senate to prevent their domination in a single assembly. This balanced approach stemmed from Adams' realistic view of human nature. Though affirming all men are born to equal rights, he recognized natural differences create varying levels of influence, making perfect equality both impossible and dangerous. Hamilton cautioned against weakening federal authority for local liberty. Drawing from Greek examples where jealousy of central power led to civil strife, he noted citizens naturally feel stronger allegiance to their state than the Union. These insights remain relevant in today's tensions between local autonomy and national unity, democratic participation, and constitutional constraints. These insights established ordered liberty based on realistic assessments of human nature and historical experience. While theorists articulated conservative principles in prose, poets expressed these insights with greater emotional resonance. The Romantics captured both initial allure and subsequent disillusionment with revolutionary change. Coleridge's 1798 France, an Ode, invokes nature clouds, waves, woods as authentic emblems of liberty, contrasting with revolutionary France's false promises. His tone shifts from excitement when France said she would be free to lament over its descent into blasphemy's loud scream and fierce and drunken passions. Wordsworth underwent a similar transformation. His enthusiasm for the French Revolution gave way to horror at the Reign of Terror. In works like The Excursion, he celebrated instead the quiet dignity of rural life and traditional communities as wisdom repositories. Beyond poetry, Coleridge argued that a constitution isn't merely a document, but a principle existing in the minds and consciences of the people, a living tradition central to conservative philosophy. The conservative literary imagination reminds us that politics concerns not just systems, but human experiences and cultural meaning. Conservative thinkers have questioned democratic governance with enduring critiques. James Fenimore Cooper distinguished between equality of condition and equality of rights, arguing the former is incompatible with civilization and exists only in societies slightly removed from the savage state, resulting in common misery. Cooper offered a nuanced analysis of all men are created equal. He emphasized this requires interpretation rather than literal acceptance, as men aren't born physically or morally equal. Instead, the Declaration's meaning is specifically political. God has not instituted political inequalities, allowing humans to form suitable social institutions. Most presciently, Cooper warned against democracy's greatest threat, the tyranny of public opinion. His observation that, in America, acts of tyranny can only proceed from the public, anticipated concerns about cancel culture and social media mob mentality. He insisted the public must be watched as kings and aristocrats are watched, a warning particularly relevant in our age of mass communication. This conservative critique seeks to temper democracy's excesses through constitutional constraints and moral education, recognizing unchecked majority rule can be as tyrannical as monarchy. Conservative thought fundamentally doubts utopian schemes promising perfect societies through radical transformation. Nathaniel Hawthorne's Earth's Holocaust illustrates this concern with reformers burning everything from marriage certificates to religious emblems in a purification bonfire. A dark stranger reveals what they've forgotten to burn, the human heart itself. Without purifying that foul cavern, all wrongs will simply reappear. This insight recognizes the limits of political solutions to moral problems. Sir Henry Maine dismissed Rousseau's social compact theory as the most baseless political speculation built on imaginary premises about primitive society. Politicians still promise utopian outcomes through government action, as if the right policy could perfect human nature. The conservative tradition warns such promises lead to disappointment or tyranny, not from pessimism, but realism about human nature. Conservative realism advocates gradual reform guided by experience, rather than abstract theories valuing traditional wisdom over speculative schemes of intellectuals who would remake society. Despite challenges facing traditional societies, conservative thinkers offer hope through preserving essential institutions and values. Michael Oakeshott described the conservative disposition as valuing the concrete world as it is, a world of fact rather than poetic image, where others exist independently of our emotions. Robert Nisbet championed intermediate associations between individual and state, emphasizing that individual initiative rarely exists outside moral communities. Humans naturally form bonds through work, friendship, faith, and mutual aid. Nisbet saw hope in reviving kinship and local community. Russell Kirk found hope in those preserving valuable fragments of Christian civilization through three pillars: Christian faith, humane letters, and ordered liberty. He warned of collapse unless those who know what makes life worth living unite against modern barbarism. This vision maintains what G.K. Chesterton called the democracy of the dead, our connection to accumulated wisdom from previous generations. It recognizes true progress comes from building on established foundations rather than revolutionary breaks. The conservative tradition invites us to participate in an ongoing conversation across time, receiving wisdom from the past, adapting it to present circumstances, and passing it forward.